The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's rise to our feet and we're going to declare. The declaration is a powerful voice with which we speak. All right, are we ready? Now, because I have the microphone, I'd like you to follow my pace. Let's go together. 1, 2, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
That will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning, the word will enter your heart.
Amen.
God will give you understanding. And He will heal every disease that may be locking anywhere in your body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He will calm your soul. He will open doors for you. This word will speak to you personally.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you know you are going to be blessed today, give me another amen.
Amen.
All right, today let's get into the teaching of the Word of God. We are looking at God of truth and wonders. And we are going to read a long portion of the scriptures. And just like I requested yesterday, please make sure you are looking at the Bible. Don't look at my face when I'm reading the Bible. When I look up, it makes me feel funny that you think I'm two-faced. I have come to entertain, but that's not what I have come to do. I have come to instruct with the Word of God. So let's read the Bible together as we start our instructions for today. Thank you for coming early. Let's open our Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. It's a place where I hope to start teaching from. The book of Ephesians chapter 3. We are going to read a long portion. I'm going to use a very simple translation, New Living Translation. We are reading and stopping somewhere in chapter 4. When I get there, I'll let you know. But let's start from verse 1 of chapter 3 first. Now, Paul was speaking. In the end of chapter 2, he explained the fact that the Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. So, but they are now citizens along with all of God's holy people. Okay, let's just back up, please. Let's back up 2-3 verses to verse 19 of chapter 2. We'll start reading from chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So Paul said, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners." Now, let me read that again. "You Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners." Can everybody say this after me? Say, "We Gentiles are no longer strangers, nor are we foreigners to the covenant of God." Now, say the next time, "We are citizens along with all of God's holy people." Please, I want you to answer me robustly. "We are citizens along with all of God's holy people." Thank you very much. He said, "We are members of God's family." Now that's verse 19. He said, "Together," now let me just continue reading. Just look into your Bible. "Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit." So God is living inside people. God is living inside a temple that's built, human beings being the building blocks. Now, Paul was not speaking. Next verse. "When I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles." That is assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending His grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. He said, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though Paul said, I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles, telling Nigerians, telling people in Makurdi about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Now Paul continued writing verse 14. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. He said, therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you, now notice this line, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, and in all, and living through all. The reading of God's word is blessed this morning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's continue teaching. That's my main text of scripture for this morning. All right, we can continue now. All right. Now, there's another portion of scriptures I want us to read in a moment, but let me just start talking. We'll read from the book of Isaiah chapter 40 in a moment. Yesterday, we read from Isaiah chapter 2. And what we said yesterday, let me just review that briefly so I can continue from that point. We explained that if we don't want to be deceived, we must never go around looking for wonders. If we don't want to be deceived in this life, your focus must never be on wonders. Never follow a preacher because he does miracles. Never follow a preacher because he sees visions. Never follow or pay attention to the ministry of any preacher. Are you getting my point? Because he raises the dead, he heals the sick, and all of that. As a Christian, You're not allowed to do that. I am not saying God doesn't do wonders. I believe in wonders. I'm not saying he doesn't do miracles. I believe in miracles. In fact, I'm praying that Christians will understand and walk regularly in the miraculous. It is important. However, if you are focused on the miraculous in your life, in your decisions, in where you go, in where you don't go, then you are going to make mistakes. You are going to be subject to lying spirits. You are going to be subject to familiar spirits. You are going to be subject to people, you understand, who deceive, claiming that they are preaching the gospel of Christ Jesus. It is something that's going to happen. You will have no choice. Now, you now ask, therefore, what are you supposed to do if you are not going to be deceived? It is simple. Follow the truth of the word of God. Look for truth. Do you get my point? And look, Bible says you should test every spirit as a Christian. It's important you learn to do that. You should pray to God to give you discernment. God will give it to you if that's what you are looking for. Because many people are deceived. Why? This man said, if you give this amount, it will multiply after 5 days. Then, of course, they went there. They gave 1,000 naira. It multiplied after 5 days. It's now 10,000. Then they came back. So they invite all their friends. When you get to that ministry, any money you put in, God will just increase it. They don't check, is this what God is preaching? Is this what the word of God is teaching us? They don't care. What matters to them? I remember one man, I was watching him on TV. He was trying to say, as I joined this ministry, the number of suits I have increased. And I was looking at, the number of suits you have increased? That the number has increased. How is that anything? You don't follow ministries for that. Some people, you know, even with ministers, they may not even go to that. We make that mistake sometimes. A man's success is determined by the amount of crowd he has in his church. And what kind of car does he drive when he's coming for a meeting? And that's a sign whether he's succeeding or he's not succeeding. He's not supposed to be. What are you supposed to look for? Never forget. This is how I like to explain it to people. He said, did his words, go and read that Luke chapter 24, when they were walking with Jesus, not knowing it was Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, he said, did his words not burn in our hearts as he was speaking to us? Did his words not burn in our hearts? If the word of God does not burn in your heart, when somebody is preaching, you shouldn't be there. If somebody is not, listen to this, another point. If a preacher is making you feel good all the time, please be careful. I remember those as young preachers. I used to go for school of ministries here and there. One of the things that they were saying there is that don't condemn people. They are condemned already. You are supposed to encourage them. You know, now I'm not old yet. I'm approaching those they can call older preachers, but I'm not old yet. I mean, just look at me. But I'm experienced a bit. And I've realized that it doesn't mean anything. I don't condemn people. I tell the truth. If the truth condemns you, it's your problem, not mine. If it encourages you, good. But I don't make it a duty to encourage you. I make it a duty to tell the truth. And that's the thing preachers are supposed to do, not encourage people. Tell the truth. That is like, I'm not saying you should try and discourage people. I'm saying your focus is not, I must encourage them. No. I must tell the truth. The truth sometimes is encouraging. The truth sometimes is cutting. That is, it cuts you. You don't want to come back. If you are living in sin, you don't want to come back. Because anytime you come, I won't let you rest. I won't encourage you, say, you know, I encourage you to come to church. You know, God didn't give me some ministries. I'm not one of those people. You're the one who finish meeting. I tell people, please, you come to our meetings, please write down your phone number, email address. What do I need it for? I'm not planning to call you and visit. How are you doing this morning? Look, I have my own issue. If I need to call you to come, you don't want to come. I have enough to do with those who want to. I tell people, I only require that information so we can communicate. Like, I saw the registration material here, okay, that I saw. So, how did you know about this meeting? Some said radio, some said SMS. How come you got our SMS? It is because we have your phone number. So, we'll let you know when next we are coming to your area. But I don't believe that pamper people to come to church. I don't. I tell the truth. If it attracts you, you'll be back next time. Are you getting my point? It's not my duty to encourage you by changing what I say. I'm not saying I'm going out to discourage people. I'm saying truth is more important than encouragement to me. I can encourage you with the truth. I will always encourage you to do what is right, not to make you feel good. I will speak the word of God and encourage you to do the right thing. But I'll never say something that if you say this, I've heard preachers say it before. If you preach this one, people won't give offering. No? I am not joking. It has been told to me. Preach something that will make people give offerings. Do I care? I'm one that will tell people, your money perish with you. In fact, I've been praying that preachers will start doing something. Offering time, blessing time. If you're a thief, don't give. We don't want your offering. If you stole that money, don't bring it to this ministry. Don't bring your cost with it. You can't buy forgiveness. You repent if you want to be forgiven. There's no way you will buy forgiveness from God. If you like, give everything you have. Paul explained it. You can give so much, yet it profits nothing if it's not given on the right principles. Paul was teaching at that point on the principle of love. And love for God is obedience to his word. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. So why do you follow somebody? Because he tells you the truth, even if it is uncomfortable. Because he tells you the truth, even if it's uncomfortable. A friend of mine is a pastor. He started a church and people were going there, of course. Thank God for that. And sometimes, that's how life is. Sometimes money is slim, it's not so much. And as a church, they will be struggling, you know, believing God. Then one day, a man joined the church. Somebody say, a man joined the church. Hallelujah. See the smile in my face. That man joined the church. Did you see where my hand went? Hallelujah. He joins the church. Each time he brings his hand out of the pocket, better they drop. Are you getting my point? Like they say, Pepe will rest. The man joined the church. He confessed to me, he said, man of God, that he was happy. That man gave so well and so consistently that half of all the money they got in the church came from only him. He said, but his own giving was consistent so that we could plan. So next month, we want to do an outreach to Boko. They knew where the money would come from. Okay, we'll be taking out 2 new members of staff. They knew where they would pay the staff from. He said, but the more he gave, the more uncomfortable I became. He said, anytime I see the offering, big, he said, my spirit will be doing... He will collect the money, they will use it in church, but he said he was not happy. So he began to pray, and he prayed. And finally, he gathered the boldness and told the brother, can we see after church on Sunday, or one evening program? He said, yes. So that one came. He said, I thank God for your life. You have been a blessing to us. You have been working with us in this ministry. Thanked him for everything. He said, but please, I need you to talk to me. Anytime I see your offering, I'm unhappy. Physically, I'm happy, but my spirit is unsettled. He said, please, you know, like he told Jonah, who are you? Tell us, what is your trade? Where do you get this money from? I need to know. Now, this is where I'm going. That man said to him, he said, Pastor, God bless you. I have been looking for a man of God that will ask me. I have been to many churches. I have given this money everywhere. Just praying in my heart. Can a pastor just talk to me? He says, sir, it is stolen money. We steal the money from federal government. Me and my guys, we have our ways around it. So when the money comes, we steal it. Make it. Let me just give you this. That is summary. Then we share it. That's how come I have so much money. This is my rank in federal civil service. I don't earn too much. But this money is stolen. So the pastor said, no wonder I've been unhappy. He told me, he said, let me confess to you. I knew that once it stops, we are back to where we used to be. He said, but that is better for us. Let's deliver his soul from hellfire. He told him, my brother, you have to stop. He said, I know. But how do I go about it? Let me not bother with you with details. He prayed with him. Told him what to do. And of course, church offering went back to where it used to be. That reduction is what many of us are afraid of. Why we don't tell the truth? I've seen pastors unhappy because somebody preached a message that cut the people's hearts, hit them in the heart. Because it hit them in the heart, the pastor was unhappy. Why? Because at the end of service that day, unhappy people don't give. So he knew that the offering would be down. Please, if you're a preacher or you know preachers, bear these things in mind. This is why we have crisis in the country. It's not because of Boko Haram or Islamic headsmen or the head of state or a governor or armed robbers or kidnappers. The real problem is what I've just told you. When you know the truth, but because you know if you share the truth, offering will go down. People will stop coming to the church. We want the large number. Listen to me. Follow people for the truth that they preach, even if it hurts you. One brother gave us a testimony in Enugu once. I came to church. We have a ministry. Kingdom Word is not a church, so we just go around teaching the word of God, all right? In Enugu, we meet on Tuesdays and on Saturdays, and we meet in Abak Lake every Friday, all right? Now, we go doing seminars in different places. This is, the last one we did was in Oka. We are marketing. Our next one will be in Port Harcourt. We just go around different places. We're in Osuka also earlier this year. Just different places, okay? Now, so one day, I finished teaching. A lot of people come, just like you have come. In Enugu, people come regularly. Lots of people. They come regularly because we meet very regularly. That's our base. So one of those days, I was just teaching. And there were things going on in the country. I just said, all those of you using subsidy, stealing federal government subsidy money. I said, poverty is your portion. I just said it like that. That's how I preach. I don't encourage people to do evil. I tell people that if you want to go to Europe by swimming through Libya, you will drown. That's how I preach. That's how I preach. If you look around the hall, you know the way I preach. Can't you see you are 90% men inside here? That's how I preach. I don't joke with people. I don't try to make you happy. I tell people that you are 30-something. You left school 7 years ago. You don't have a job. And your father is collecting pension. Your mother is collecting pension. And you are eating from it. You will be sick in Jesus' name. That's how I preach. You say, well, what if I don't have a job? Doesn't mean you shouldn't have a brain just because you don't have a job. You can't go to the road and go and carry cement. Learn how to lay block. Is it lay block? Yes, it is better than eating parents' pension money. God is removing your blessing. Every time you swallow food, a bit of your blessing is removed and flushed down the bottomless pit. Some things are wrong. I preach this message like this. I didn't even know. One brother, I saw him. I went to Port Harcourt. You know, the people you see, when you see their skin, you know this skin never worked inside sun before. Never been on a farm. I've never chased rabbits. Never checked on did the trap catch something. People were born and the room was air-conditioned and they were delivering them. The baby cried because of the cold. Please reduce that AC. He didn't cry for the normal things. When I saw this guy like that, so he came to see me. He told me that he just thanked me for the word I've been preaching. This is in Port Harcourt. He said, sir, my parents are well-to-do. I mean, he didn't need to tell me. Once you see him, you know. He said, but I heard you preach. My company has not paid us for 8 months. But I said, I can't go back home. I'm a man. I'm looking at him. He said, so I learned how to paint houses. Did you hear what I said? The company that had not paid him for 8 months was an oil servicing company. When price of oil went down, they didn't have money. He said, of course, you know, keep on waiting that they'll pay next month. He said, I saw a deal. They had not paid for some time. He said, I looked at myself. How will I go back home? He said, my parents are well-to-do, sir. He said, but I saw my friends. They are builders, you know, contractors and all that. So I went to them. What is going on here? Painting is not too hard. He learned how to paint. So when his friends are building houses, he joins painters. That at least I go back home with money and I feed my family. That's how I preach to people. I don't preach, God is going to bless you this year. No, I tell you, if you continue sinning, you will die before the end of the year. It says in scripture, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Why should I lie to you? Why you not die now? God will hold me responsible. Let me tell you the truth. Then you repent. Then me and you will be friends. So that day I was preaching back to where I began from. I said, those of you who are stealing federal government subsidy money, all this money, I say you, poverty is your portion. I said, listen, what you will find is that you will be broke. All those houses you are building, you will soon sell them. Do you know what? I didn't know it was prophetic. One brother said to me, he came to tell me himself. So that day I preached that thing, he was angry. He stopped coming for Bible studies. So why were you angry? Because he was supposed to join them on Monday. And I preach this kind of thing on Saturday. You know, it's on Saturdays I preach most, on Tuesdays also. He said, but we're supposed to just join them Monday. There's a way they defraud federal government of what they call bridging money. Because you know, because we're always vandalizing our pipeline, so they don't pump. Like now, if you see an MPC here, their depot here, they don't get fuel from there. The tankers have to bring fuel from far. So that they can sell fuel at the same price nationwide, what federal government does is bear the cost of carrying the fuel. So that money is called bridging money. So that fuel can be the same price in Makurdi as in Port Harcourt where it landed. Common sense, it shouldn't be the same price. If they fully deregulate, those in Makurdi will not buy the same as those in Port Harcourt, because those in Port Harcourt, they have refineries nearby, or even if it's imported, it's offloaded near them. Originally, the idea that you now pump from there, there are pipelines running all over the country to these our big reservoirs, but there are too many criminals around. Those ones, they dig the pipelines. When they are pumping, they bust it open, fill like 20, 50 tankers. They don't get to where it is going. Then the rest will leak into the environment, catch fire, kill people. So federal government had to stop this pumping, which all of us are suffering for it. So they waste a lot of money anyway. So the way they used to do it, just go pretend like they've carried fuel, and federal government will pay for bridging nothing. So he wanted to join them. He said, because my friends were building houses. You see them, oh boy, come and dedicate a new house, duplex. So he said that he was going to join. So you know what happened to him? I preached. So he was so angry with me, he didn't come back. He refused to come back. After 1 month, he came back. But he did not join them. Why was he telling me this story? He said, sir, everything you said has come to pass. All my friends are in prison. He said, all those houses they built, they sold them. He said, they've caught them one by one. EFC has collected them, locked them up. He said, those houses that I was envious of, they are on sale. They are repaying the money they collected. I had a good laugh. He was the one that came to tell me with his own mouth, how will I know about it? I did not know that the day I was preaching, I was prophesying to somebody. Don't follow the preacher that when you finish beating your wife and telling him that you want to marry somebody because this woman is a witch, he said, yes, go on. These witches won't let you prosper. He's going to kill you. He's the reason you will die. He will die too. Two of you are going, that's for sure. But don't follow him. I have a colleague who tells me that my wife is very useless. I tell him, you are very wicked. I said to him this 2 days ago. Somebody was getting married. We're praying for the guy. I said, hey, don't worry, God will bless you. He said, may your wife not be like my own. I said, you are started again. I said, what is wrong with you? He said, that woman is very wicked. He said, it's very useless. I said, you are a very wicked man. I said, you know, I've told you many times you are difficult. So I turned to the guy. I said, you too. You will not be one that locks out your in-laws. I looked at him. You know, we're praying for somebody. So he was praying for the person that your wife will not be like my own. I said, you too. You will not behave like him. That's how we settled the quarrel. He said, every time my wife and I said, you that I know. Do you know living with you is hard? I told him all the bad things he has done around me so that let's stop blaming somebody. I said, look, this woman is not the only problem. You that I'm talking to. He said, oh God, this is what you are saying. We told you to argue. I said, but I told him the truth. God of truth and wonders. You will be misled in life if you are always looking for who does wonders, not who tells the truth. That was a fake prophet, a big fake prophet, the biggest of the fake prophets in Nigeria. And I was talking about yesterday, whose name I did not mention. But if you want to know, after ask me, I will tell you, not afraid. Just I don't like to popularize him in case somebody is listening to this one from Cote d'Ivoire or Egypt. I won't be popularizing evil. And but he's a real man of God. I said, oh, if your head is working, sit down one day and tell me one thing he has taught you. Sit down one day. Tell me one thing he has taught you. Tell me one day you've seen him call people to repentance and he's not blaming their grandfather or their mother or something. Why are you impressed? You're giving rice to the poor. Why are you impressed? He's there. That's what they do every time. Give you word of knowledge. Telling you, this happened to your family 15 years ago. So? Sometimes genuine preachers do that and it's real. But don't follow anybody, genuine or not, because of that. Follow them that when they open their mouth, they talk. Righteousness comes into your heart. Whatever sin is in there, you are convicted. Like that, my brother, you may run away, but he was back and came to testify with his own mouth that was about to join doers of iniquity. The Bible says, don't join the multitude to do wrong. He was about to join the multitude to do wrong. Then the Holy Spirit came through my mouth and cautioned him 2 days before he commenced and saved his life. So he came back and said, sir, God bless you for opening your mouth to redeem me. Listen, one way, I told you yesterday, there are four problems that society, people experience when God wants to deal with them. Now, God doesn't like dealing with people. It's their iniquity. It's their sins. We said they experience what? Who can remember? Pestilence, sword. Yes, mentioned sword. Modern day sword is gone. You know that? Yes. Thank you. Natural disasters. We mentioned pestilence and famine. Four things. They are always the effects of the people's behavior. Never forget it. The land is polluted by our unrighteousness. The land is blessed by our righteousness. Don't ever forget that. One sign that we have a problem in us as a people is when we see those four things. When we see sword, when we see pestilence, when we see natural disasters, and we see famine. It is not supposed to start, it will help us to point fingers at somebody else. It's supposed to give us a signal. Something's wrong with all of us. Now listen to this. As a nation, that's the first stage. Then when we see a problem, something's wrong with the nation. A nation in which Christianity has been established for over 100 years. A nation in which vibrant Christianity has been in front for over 50 years. We see this kind of problem. Then another thing comes to our mind. Something is wrong with the church. See the way it's in. I'm going about it. First, there's something wrong with the land. So everybody looks. People of insight will know that because something is wrong with the land, something is wrong with the people. The land is a sign. You know, those are what were teaching us in school. They say the skin, somebody's skin, is a reflection of what's going on inside. And we're taught on how to diagnose diseases looking at skin. You look at somebody, I can tell you how well his liver is doing, how well his bone marrow is doing. There are things I will see on somebody's skin and say he has a cancer he does not know yet. That's how it is. The earth is like our skin. It sees into our souls as a people. It sees into our soul. So it reflects. Suddenly the earth becomes famished. That's where you will see, naturally speaking, there are religions that cause desertification. Go and check it. Once they are established, it's about a matter of years, desert will take over. We talk about desert encroachment in Nigeria. Lake Chad has dried up. It's coming down, coming down. The only thing that will stop that desert is we push Christianity back up. If we don't do that, it's a normal thing. Where's the headquarters? Inside the desert. It's a spirit. The ones that don't have desert, they have tsunamis, crises of all sorts. It's a spirit. Let's get it clear. The earth reflects the soul of the people. Now notice this. The people around, they reflect the state of the church. When the church has been established, see, interpretation it's difficult when people don't realize that you give time for certain things. What I mean is that when the church has not been established, you interpret it differently. But when the church has been established amongst the people, for example, now, if you ask me what happened in Northeast, you can do all kinds of analysis. But God has only one word. Jesus has one word. That my people were unfaithful. That's all that happened. The unfaithfulness amongst my people. That's the summary. You can analyze from now till tomorrow. God said my people were unfaithful. They're unfaithful in many ways. Sometimes they are not faithful in the progress they are supposed to make. And let me tell everybody, especially Christians that are down south. I think from here, we call here Middle Belt. But we are beginning to, we all have the same madness from here to the south. They should listen to something. If they continue the way they are going, if true preachers don't rise up, the whole country down to Atlantic Ocean will have problems. And it will not be because of whoever head of state you voted for or did not vote for. One of the things I noticed, as God began to prosper Christians, you know what they began to do? They started eating large. They call it eating large. Owning houses abroad, going to school all over the world, holiday, park wife and children. Listen, you can park your wife and children and go anywhere. I don't care. But the same man who blows 6 million naira for a holiday for himself, his wife, and 4 children, asking for an offering to preach the gospel. I keep on telling people, you cannot use to relax what you have not given to preach the gospel. It's madness. It's a sign of unfaithfulness. Christians who buy Bentleys, who have never used that quantity of money to pay for airtime, to advance the gospel to difficult areas, they're not serving God. I have no problem with your Bentley. I have no problem with it. It's a good car. If you like it, you have the money. See, some people are private jets. I always say it's not my problem. If they have private money and they are going to private places, don't concern me. But the way I prioritize things. This morning, one of our brothers, a minister of the gospel, he called me this morning. We're talking. Because he watched what I preached on television this morning, because we're on satellite TV. So as soon as the program was over, he called. I said, sir, beautiful message you preached this morning, sir. I wish my people here would hear it. He said, now everybody's running out. Now, this is where I'm going. He said, everybody's running to Canada. It's a new trend now. It's iniquity, but we're all doing it, okay? Now, you now say, ah, what's wrong with Canada? The trend is iniquity. Each decision has to be weighed. Are you getting my point? But the trend, every generation has its iniquity. And this is what I mean by iniquity. He said, Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age. Okay, what is present age? Comfort, desire for security and all of that. Christians are not allowed to get involved in those things. Christians are hard people. God said they must be hard. He said, endure hardship as a true soldier of Christ. So we never shift because of comfort. I get a job here, you know, better life here. We don't. We ask God, where am I supposed to be? Where can I create the greatest influence? Do you get my point? Sometimes, you know, when God met Paul, what was the first thing he told Paul? What he would suffer for his sake. He didn't say, well, now you are giving your life to Christ, you're about to experience abundance and breakthrough. He didn't tell him that. So, okay, oh boy, good. I forgive you of your sins. You killed Stephen. Don't worry. Small thing. Stephen's with me. He's enjoying himself. Don't worry. So what must I do? Get ready to suffer. So that's why you could not dissuade Paul with the place is hard. So no, that was the agreement. I will suffer for his sake. We have a mission mindset. Okay? That's something about Christians. Our mindset is mission focused. First time we came to come and start doing work in Makurdi, one of my friends said, ah, you are living in England, you are going to Makurdi. The Lord, he was joking. Said, the Lord did not speak to you to go to Port Harcourt. When was I doing seminar in Port Harcourt? The first time we went, it was a brother came and said, why don't you come and teach in Port Harcourt? Ah, we said, we are thinking about it. He said, what do you require? I said, we normally rent small halls. We don't draw multitude of crowds. So just giving a hall that can sit like 200, 300 people. He said, okay. 3-4 days later, he called me, said, the hall has been identified. Choose a date. We will pay for it. They paid for the hall. The same men you saw with me here. We packed ourselves into the same vehicle with the same equipment and drove to Port Harcourt. And first thing we did, offering time, we first announced that this meeting has been fully paid for. And we told everybody, we won't tell you who paid for it, because if we do, we are denying them their reward with the Lord. Let God know them. Let him reward them. We knew them personally. Personally, we prayed for them. But as a congregation, I said, no. No matter how much you give to the ministry, I never recognize you. Never. I don't give you special seat. You come late, you stand outside. My wife stands outside if she comes late. So who are you? What have you given me that my wife has not given me more? And when my wife comes late for my meeting, she stays outside. And she knows. She doesn't. There's no. Sometimes my wife will go to some churches. Pastor's wife will come late. Her body will be shaking. Say, ah! My husband? You go late for. Even me, I stay outside. That's how I do my things. Don't recognize you. Like, say, Pastor, this is your blessing. Give up 50 million naira to preach the gospel. You come for this meeting, you sit at the back like everybody. If I move you to the front, I'm killing you. I'm denying you of your reward. Why should I hate you so much after you gave me 50 million naira to preach the gospel? So the more you give, the more I push you to the back. It's for your own good. I know I've digressed. Are you getting my point? So Christians, we are mission-minded. We are mission-minded. We are mission-minded. That's how we reason. Why am I supposed to make the greatest impact? So my friend said to me, he was joking. I said, no, I'm not going to Port Harcourt for anything until the time is right. And we go there. We go periodically. We don't go as often now for a number of reasons. Most importantly, that we broadcast on air twice a week there. So I said, that's taking care of the work. But we'll be there again in about 4 weeks' time. All right? First weekend of first weekend of December, we'll be there. So my brother called me this morning and said, listen, what you preached on radio, on television this morning, I wish people would hear it here. Now listen to this. He said the income of the church has dropped by over 30% because families are relocating their families abroad. They've taken money that they're supposed to use to preach the gospel to carry their children into security. I said, tell them that they have taken their faith away from God and have placed it in money. A sign that your faith is no longer in God is that you have taken, look, you have taken, if I want to buy a car, I want to build a house and everything, one thing my wife and I always agree on is that it must not reflect in our generosity. I don't know what I get my point. Whatever I was giving money to before, it stays. If what I want to buy something, it does not, can't come from extra money after the one that I've given as offerings, leave it. The thing is not yet time. What am I trying to explain here? We have been unfaithful. So you see a lot of people down south, as the country began to progress, began to make progress, you know what they started doing? Living large. Then we believe in this doctrine called tithing. You see, what's the problem with it? A tither doesn't know anything. Those who really give to God, they can't calculate. They don't have time for calculation. Have I ever told my children the proportion of my income that is their school fees? Have I ever discussed with anybody, with Toyota or Kia, the proportion of my income that my car costs? Many of us here, we own our own houses.